Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 23, Texts 4 and 5. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The daughter of Manu, who was fully devoted to her husband, looked upon him as greater even than providence. Thus she expected great blessings from him. Having served him for a long time, she grew weak and emaciated due to her religious observances. Seeing her condition, Kardama, the foremost of celestial sages, was overcome with compassion and spoke to her in a voice choked with great love. Purport. The wife is expected to be of the same category as the husband. She must be prepared to follow the principles of the husband, and then there will be happy life. If the husband is a devotee and the wife is materialistic, there cannot be any peace in the home. The wife must see the tendencies of the husband and must be prepared to follow him. From Mahabharata, we learn that when Gandhari understood that her would-be husband, Dhritarashtra, was blind, she immediately began to practice blindness herself. Thus she covered her eyes and played the part of a blind woman. She decided that since her husband was blind, she must also act like a blind woman. Otherwise she would be proud of her eyes and her husband would be seen as inferior. The word samanavrata indicates that it is the duty of a wife to adopt to the special circumstances in which the husband is situated. Of course, if the husband is as great as Kardama Muni, then a very good result accrues from following him. But even if the husband is not a great devotee like Kardama Muni, it is the wife's duty to adapt herself according to his mentality. That makes married life very happy. It is also mentioned herein that by following the strict vows of a chaste woman, Princess Devahuti became very skinny, and therefore her husband became compassionate. He knew that she was the daughter of a great king and yet was serving him just like an ordinary woman. She was reduced in health by such activities, and he became compassionate and addressed her as follows. Nowadays, it's quite common that married couples go for marriage counseling. And in some countries they have the government arranges that for the marriage counseling, the husband and wife having some problem, and they go to a marriage counselor who advises them. I don't know what he advises them, but anyway, they have such a system to try and adjust the differences between husband and wife. Prabhupada has given a formula here by which all the marriage counselors could be out of business. You may think, well, that's very bad, but it's just like if all the doctors were out of business, that would be good. That would mean everyone would be very healthy. Of course, that won't be, because there's always disease in the material world. But this advice Prabhupada has given, that the wife should adjust herself to the husband, even if the husband is not a great devotee like Kardama Muni, Prabhupada says, it is the wife's duty to adapt herself according to his mentality. That makes married life very happy. So sometimes we hear devotees saying, or devotee wives saying, well, I can be like Sita, but my husband isn't like Ram. So why should I be like Sita? But such a plea is not accepted here. Even if the husband is not, you can't expect, it's unreasonable to expect every husband to be as good as Ram or Kardama Muni. But still, it's the duty of the wife to mold herself after the role model of Sita. Just like some of the people say that, well, the guru should be as good as Prabhupada, or we don't accept. But it's just, you know, every bird is not Garuda. You can't expect. So, who is following, they can bring the same message. But it's not that every devotee has to, we can expect that every devotee, even in the liberated state, will be on the level of the Pandavas or the Vrajavasis. On the same platform in the sense of complete surrender is supposed to be there. But those who are the Nitya Parshads, the eternal associates of the Lord, they are very special and very dear to the Lord. Therefore, we are enjoined to make our desire Sakir Anugatokar. That we don't pray to Tulsi Devi, make me a Sakhi. But rather, I'll be a follower of the Sakhi. Or that I will become Nanda Maharaj, I will become the father of Krishna, and Nanda Maharaj can retire. And no, you can become the servant of Nanda Maharaj, not Nanda Maharaj. So the ideal is there, that one should be one should follow in the footsteps of the great personalities. And here it said that this will make married life very happy. Now in the modern age, girls, they think that, well, if I have to just do what my husband wants, then I won't be happy. I should do what I want, and then I'll be happy. But here Prabhupada says, no. If the wife thinks I will do what I like, then her husband won't be happy, and she won't be happy either. And she has to adjust herself, and that is the joy of a respectable woman, is that the life of sacrifice. Why we find in Shastra that women are to be glorified, chaste women are glorified. Why is that? Their life of sacrifice to their husband and children. So that life of sacrifice, that is elevating. But if we think, well, what do I like? What do I want? If we only think of that, then that is degrading. So this is the path of dharma, stri dharma, that she should be the follower of her husband in all respects. The example is given of Gandhari. She knew my husband, she'd never seen her husband, but she heard, oh, he's going to be blind. And she didn't say to Maharaj Gandhar, her father, that, well, I'm not going to marry him. Couldn't you find anyone better than that? But she didn't think like that. She said, oh, father has arranged. He knows what is best for me. I accept. He's from a great family. He's a great personality. He's blind. All right, I'll also be blind. She accepted. Acceptance that this is, here we have in this word, daivat, from providence. The word providence or fate is used in English. In Sanskritam is daiva, which means providence or fate. The English word gives the idea of just like some kind of blind chance. Just a haituk. There's no reason for it, just chance. But daiva means, just like we have this word, it comes also elsewhere in Bhagavatam. What is that? Karmana daiva netrena jantur deha papatteya. So each living being gets his body according to his fate. That means the fate means according to his karma, and daiva, his fate, means under the direction of the Supreme Lord. So this word daiva, it means not just blind luck, good luck, bad luck, But it means what is awarded to us by the higher decision of the Supreme Lord, who is within everyone's heart. So this acceptance that, oh, this is my situation, all right. The Father has ordained I should marry like this, then I accept. And husband is blind, all right, I'll also be blind. Of course, that's a very great vow to take. Gandhari is a great personality. But she's how does one become great? What did she do? You say, what did Gandhari do? I mean, she was a housewife, because she was a queen, but we don't find so much in Mahabharata, we don't find so much Gandhari being mentioned as Dhritarashtra. Few times she's mentioned there, telling Duryodhana not to take to his wicked course, and then again Duryodhana, he's coming. She was taking off her cloth one time to give Duryodhana the strong body by seeing it, and she told come naked, and then Krishna intercepted Duryodhana on the way and said, at least you should wear a langota, so this way. And then again she cursed Krishna. Who can curse Krishna? That all your family should die. She said, you are the cause of all this, so all your family should die also. So this is all part of Krishna's lila. Actually, Krishna is the cause, he was ultimately the cause of the deaths of all of them, because Arjuna had very good points that why should we kill all our forefathers and why should we kill all these people just so that we can have the throne? Because Duryodhana, okay, he's a jerk. You know what jerk means? It means like badma, something like that. So... But anyway, the kingdom is going on, so he's not misruling. Law and order is there. So Arjuna's arguments are very good, but Krishna didn't accept Arjuna's arguments. Kutastva kashvalamidam vishame samupastitam anaya jushtamasvagama kirti karamaj. Ah, you're talking rubbish. You're talking like a street. You're not talking like Arya. You're not talking like one who knows the higher values of life. How have these impurities come upon you that you don't want to fight? So Krishna, he talked Arjuna into fighting. But as Krishna himself also revealed in Bhagavad Gita, that ultimately you are not the cause. You will not kill. I am killing ultimately everyone. And there's also another story after the battle was over, Bhima and Arjuna, they were both claiming, well, Bhima was saying, actually I killed most, and Arjuna said, no, I killed most. And then Krishna said, I killed all of them. So Gandhari could recognize, and she cursed Krishna, that just as our family, the Kauravas, because at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, we have Dhritarashtra saying that Dhritarashtra uvacha dharma kshetre kuru kshetre samaveta yotsava mama kang pandavas chaiva kima kauravata sanjaya. It made a differentiation between Kauravas and Pandavas. But actually they're all Kauravas. They're all descendants of Kuru, but they made the differentiation. These are the Pandavas, as if they're not Kuru, but they're all Kuru. Their whole family died. So Gandhari also cursed us. Your family should also die by fratricidal war. And so that came to happen. And actually Krishna wanted that also. So it's all part of his lila. Anyway, the point I was making is we don't see Gandhari much. She's not featured much. She's in the background. Generally, ladies are in the background. But she is a great personality. How did she become great? What did she do? She wasn't there on the battle, or she wasn't... She didn't do anything like so much like Duryodhana. Of course, how she gave birth, that's also the... that she wasn't giving birth. Her embryo was just sitting there, and then Kunti gave birth, and she, in frustration, she beat it. And Vyasadeva came and said, okay, you give the embryo, we'll have 100 sons from this. So she had 100 sons. And a little bit was left over, and she said, I'd like to have a daughter also. So she had 100 sons and one daughter. So we see Gandhari, but why is she considered a great personality? Her greatness is in her pativrata. She's remembered for her devotion to her husband. Now, this is on this devotion to husband, pativrata. This is on the mundane platform. Here we have prema gadgadaya vacha kadam. These words are prema gadgada. These are common words in bhakti literature. Prema, common word. Gadgada vacha, speaking with a faltering voice. But here, Kadamuni is speaking with a loving, faltering voice, is not addressing Bhagavan, but addressing his wife. Now, Kadamuni and Devahuti, they are, again, they're great personalities. Their service includes giving birth to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his form as Kapila Dev. So we cannot consider them, even their relationship, it may appear to be like that of an ordinary husband and wife, but it isn't, because it's in relationship to Krishna. Certainly, Vasudev loved Devaki, loved and loves, and Nanda loves Yashoda, Yashoda loves Nanda, no doubt about it. But their loving relationship as husband and wife is not mundane, because the center of their relationship is Krishna. So that's how to make family life Krishna conscious. Make the center Krishna. Nevertheless, we find in Shastra so many descriptions of this chaste women, Nala Damayanti, famous story in Mahabharata. Then Savitri Satyavan. There are so many stories which traditionally young girls are brought up to hear, with the idea that this is how we should live, because this is Vanashram society. It is an arrangement by which people can live in a manner that they will not become degraded into sinful life, and they can gradually come to the platform of worshipping Krishna and surrendering to Krishna. So these principles are meant for Vaishnavas also, for Vaishnava families. It's not that because we're Vaishnavas that we don't follow the basic principles of Varnashram. Rather, Prabhupada wanted that the Vaishnavas should follow them more and better, so as to teach others how to live. One devotee wrote to me from Europe that he's trying to get his wife to go out on book distribution, but she's reluctant. She feels afraid to go out and face the people. I said, well, that's good. Why force her out? That quality of shyness, that is also preaching. Who's going to establish this? That wife should be shy and chaste, which Prabhupada says are the most important qualities. How are people going to learn if our own devotees, they don't follow this? So, of course, book distribution is very important, but it's also important to set an example of how human beings live, because in the modern cat and dog society, which people think is human society, people don't know how to live, and therefore they're suffering, and our devotees are also suffering. In some places in India, in the name of Krishna consciousness, the wives, they're out distributing books, so when their children come home from school, there's no mother there, there's no food, and they say, well, this is bhakti, the family isn't so important. This is nonsense. It's not bhakti to neglect your children. If you have time, you can do book distribution, but you have to look after your children and give them prasadam. Not, I'm doing bhakti and my children can starve and go to hell. It's nonsense. It's a total misunderstanding. So, these principles, devotees have a great responsibility to understand them and follow them. And this way people can live happily. It's so much required. People read our books and they become inspired that, oh, this is such a high ideal. We have to show that ideal in our lives also. Yeah, preaching is not just talking. Preaching is acting also. So if we find that our own devotees, they're not living like Kadava and Devahuti, the husband and wife, they're fighting, and then who will want to, who will be inspired to join such a society? If they're fighting, means there's something is wrong, they're not properly Krishna conscious. So these principles should be followed. Even Prabhupada wanted the Western devotees to follow this. What to speak of the Indian devotees? He didn't force it. You can't force people. But just like some of his Western lady disciples are in India, and they saw the ladies carrying water on their head, and he said, "You want to learn to do that? You can carry. It's one of the duties of women to carry the water." And Prabhupada thought, "That's very good. You can also learn." And then there was one of Prabhupada's disciples. He arranged the marriage. Some, they'd never seen each other. Prabhupada did this between Westerners who had got such a different culture. So this, the lady, or she was a young lady at the time, she had been a film actress before, so you can imagine, it's just the opposite of the Devahuti Damayanti mold. So she was married, but she was having a little problem trying to adjust to this kind of problem. So she said to Prabhupada, "Well, Prabhupada, it's so different to what we're brought up with and what we're used to." And Prabhupada says, "Yes, but if it's a good thing, then why not adjust to it? It is a good thing. It's not this modern way of life. It's not, the result we can see is not good. The modern way of life means there is no there is no stable family life. Family means just some economic, it's an arrangement for economic cooperation and sense gratification. In many cases nowadays, husband and wife, they earn and they both keep their own money. So it's only an arrangement for sense gratification, or somewhat economic. They share the fridge, they share an apartment, and this and that, and they both pay half the rent. But she keeps her money and he keeps his money, and he enjoys with his girlfriend and she enjoys with her boyfriend, and they live together and like that. And even before they get married, they make a contract that when we divorce, you'll get this and I'll get this, just in case we get married. It means they're already thinking about, even before they, just in case we get divorced, it means they've already thought. But traditionally there was no way you don't even think. You can't even think of divorce. You can think of it once they legalized it.
Once it became possible, then you can start to think about it. If you can't think about divorce, then you just think about, in difficulty, how to adjust. Somehow or other, we have to go on. But if they allow divorce, oh, okay, well, then it's possible. This Jawaharlal Nehru, he had made the divorce law for the convenience of his daughter, and it's been going on ever since. Now the opportunity is there, you can do it. So these things are all sinful, actually, but people have no idea. Pravritting cha nivritting cha janana vidura suraha na shocham na picha charo na satyam teshu vidyate. Those who are demoniac, they do not know what is proper behavior and what isn't. They have neither cleanliness nor proper behavior nor truth is in them. Therefore, they will give very moral arguments why abortion is good. And they have societies that are dedicated for the prevention of cruelty to animals. That you see, you should slaughter the cows in a humane manner. We're against the inhumane slaughter of cows. And they're slaughtering cows. But you have to do it in a way that it doesn't hurt. You're mistreating them. So they're so foolish. There's no such thing as humane slaughter. Honest thievery. I'm a thief, I'm an honest thief. Does it make any sense? I'm a butcher, but I'm a compassionate butcher. I pat the cow on the head before I slit its throat. We're very nice to them. So these rubbish people, they're all rubbish. They've all got stool in their heads instead of brains. And Prabhupada said that. I didn't make it up. There was this case against, in 1976, some people in America made a case against Prabhupada's disciples that you're brainwashing people. You're brainwashing them means that you're programming them to act in an unusual way, just like they're jumping up and down in the streets wearing these orange bed sheets and shaving their heads and singing this funny thing from India. You're brainwashing them. And Prabhupada said, our movement is not brainwashing, it is brain giving. You have no brain. And he said, actually, your brain needs to be washed because it's full of stool. Prabhupada said, you should go and tell that in the... There are some other things which I won't repeat. Prabhupada was so heavy, but I don't like to say in public. And if I don't like to say it in public, you can imagine it's very heavy. I'll tell you in private. Something Prabhupada said about what you should, he said, you should tell this to the judge. You tell it, put it in the newspapers. So Prabhupada is very direct and straightforward. These people, they're arguing for abortion. Abortion is, why you want, no, abortion must be there because it's the woman's body and she has the right to do whatever she likes with her body. But why? This is not true. The body does not belong to you. The body, the woman is supposed to be under the control of her father, husband, and elder sons, not independent. It's not your body. This body is a gift from the Supreme Lord, which is meant for acting for the sake of God realization, not for sinning. You have no right. You cannot give life, so you have no right to take it away. This sex life is supposed to be indulged in for production of children. And to kill the child in the womb is extremely sinful, but they think it's normal. And you'll find even Vaishnavas supposed to be engaged as... They make lots of money doing abortions. I saw in Baroda, one of the devotees, is my new life member. He's Vallabh Sampradaya Vaishnav. He's a doctor. So I asked, what kind of doctor? Gynecologist. I said, that means you're doing abortions, isn't it? He said, yes, actually I specialize in abortions. Vaishnava. So you're saying, actually, you know, it's helping society because there's too much population. Too much population, you slit your own throat. You think there's too many people? Kill yourself first. Will you do that? We'll kill everyone else. They don't know what is right, and because they think that the goal of life is that we should all live together peacefully and enjoy sense gratification sinfully. And therefore they think that whatever adjustments we can make to live in this world, that's good. It's just this, there's this fetus and it's developing and you can just cut it and kill it and you don't see it and you put it in the bin or you sell it. You can sell it for making cosmetics and different things. Watch out, ladies, what you're using, your lipstick. It might be someone's baby is in there. They use it for all kinds of things. So, very, very sinful. So this Bhagavatam is meant for creating a revolution in the misdirected lives of a sinful population. Tadvag visago janataga viplavo yasmin prati shlokam abadavatyapi. Namanya nantasya yashonkitani yaj trinvanti gayanti grinanti sadhavaha. This Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for creating a revolution in the misdirected lives of an impious, sinful population. Persons who are saintly persons will accept and repeat the Shrinvanti, they will hear, Gayanti, they will chant, Grinanti, they will accept the message of Bhagavatam because it is meant for the glorification of Krishna. This Bhagavatam is, this knowledge of the Bhagavatam is meant to change human society. As Prabhupada said, our movement will go down in history for having saved human society in its darkest hour. People think we are making progress, but from the perspective of saintly people, we are living in an extremely sinful age. And people think it's progress because only because they're demons can they think it's progress. They think there's more scope for enjoying sense gratification. That is progress. But from the devotional perspective, this is regress. Progress means when we become detached from sense gratification, then we're making progress. Then we're making advancement. Advancement doesn't mean to build more buildings and to have more abortion clinics and to teach that we're all descended from monkeys. This is advancement of ignorance. But they're so foolish, so blind to their own self-interest. Natividu swartha gatinghi Vishnu. They don't know that their real self-interest is to worship Vishnu. So foolish. The blueprint for perfect society is given here in Srimad Bhagavatam. But they're making propaganda against it. That this is backward. This is repressive. That the husband and the wife should serve the husband. This is very bad. They were doing it in India up till a short time ago, and more or less everyone was living happily. But they want that wife and husband all equal and equal rights, equal fights. We should all fight, and that's better because you have to have your equal right. This is all promoted by sinful people who are envious. Actually, this whole feminism is all promoted by divorced women who fought with their husbands and got divorced. And then they're envious. They don't like it when they see husband and wife living happily together. They're very envious. And you'll see, even in our own movement, they come and they tell the wives that, why are you serving your husband? Why are you being so submissive? And then what? And then the wife gets all disturbed, and then she's no longer submissive to her husband, and they ruin the whole family. And the feminists think, yes, we have done very well. This happened. Devotees told me, They're living very peacefully at home. The wife is very happy. And then one day she comes home and says, "Why should I serve you? Oh, what happened to you?" What happened? She met one of our feminazis, as they're sometimes called, who told her, "What is this? Why are you doing like this?" "Well, we're doing because that's given in Shastra, and we're very happy doing that." But they don't want you to be happy. They're envious. They're parasukaduki. They become disturbed when others are happy. So this movement is based on Bhagavat Puran, Madhyastha Bhagavat Puran, as Narottam Das says. Pramanam Amalam. This is the spotless evidence. We should live according to the Bhagavat principles, not according to the demoniac principles. This demoniac society is so insidious. You know what that means, insidious? It means like subtly destructive. It seems like it's very good. Yeah, everyone should have all equal rights, and women shouldn't serve their husbands, and they should have freedom to do whatever you like. But what is the result? The result is that society is totally disturbed. And they're complaining against rape cases, more and more rape cases. What do you expect? The women are walking around with their t-shirts and their tight jeans. More or less, it's like putting an advertisement, "Come and rape me." And going out at night alone at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. What do you expect? And then they have all everything, soap and cars and car tires, and everything is advertised by showing half-naked women. Or in Italy, last time I saw, right on the billboards, huge billboards, fully naked women advertising. So what are you going to do? You know, you have to become Gandhari. It's very difficult. So demoniac. So such a foolish civilization that women are promoted as sex objects, not as mothers, and they don't want to be mothers. Even in our society, they object if you call them mother, some of them. They want to be called Prabhu. So, they don't want to be mothers, and then they complain. Why is there rape? Why is there rape? Because you're promoting like that. Then, if this Vedic system isn't there of respect, separation, specific duties, then the relation between man and woman just becomes sex, that's all. Then it's animal life. So these Bhagavad prescriptions, they're meant for the uplift of human society. We should very clearly understand this, that this is not just some ancient thing that we're talking about, some ancient history which has no relevance. It has all relevance to modern life. It's the same principles are there in human society today, yesterday, tomorrow. These principles are eternal principles. Yes, they're social principles. It's not on the highest platform, but we are not on the highest platform, and the Bhagavatam has given us the method of how to live in this world so that we can come out of it and go to Krishna. But if we don't follow the Vedic principles, then we have to follow the demoniac principles, and then we become demons. How can we avoid? Is there any question about this? They have a question. All right.
Two questions are there, Maharaj. Number one is...
Can everyone hear? Yeah? Okay.
Number one, you did not conclude the situation of Gandhari type of Matajis, because you started with the statement that this is on the mundane platform.
Mm.
And somehow then in elaboration time was gone. So we accept that this is on the mundane platform, but this is recommended by Shastra.
It's recommended by Shastra, yeah, because we have to follow this.
Yes.
So that's what I said actually,
yes,
in the course of the class.
You established that fact.
So that we have to, this will establish peace, yes, in society so that we can put Krishna in the center of our lives and become advanced.
Yes.
And even we find great devotees like Kunti Devi, Draupadi, so many examples are there, Devahuti, even they're great, great devotees, but they still followed Sri Dharma. They're the, yes, ideals of Sri Dharma.
Yes. I totally agree with that. You established it. And then these so-called women and so-called society, they promote this, and even among the Vaishnavas, the second point which you touched is, they say that when the husband is not devotee, you can just leave, like the Prahlad Maharaj, he gave up the father.
This is not what Prabhupada says here though.
Yes, but this is what the things represented like.
Well, I'm saying what Prabhupada said. You can say whatever you like.
Yes. And
you can give your own reasoning, but when Prabhupada very clearly writes in his books, it's better to follow that.
We should promote it.
You can make your own logic. Krishna means black. Black means unknown. Therefore, Krishna cannot be known.
No.
You can make your own logic, but we have to follow what is Shastra.
Hello?
What is given by our acharyas.
Secondly, why not we make some certain guidelines for the grihasthas in our society?
Very good idea.
We make, because most of the time the devotees who come, they are even, you know, to some extent, though I am in movement.
I was talking about this the other day. I think you weren't here at that class. How we have to train our devotees, because our devotees, they don't know. They only know the modern ideas,
modern ideas,
and it's just a disaster.
Yes, so there should be a...
I was saying we need to train, as much as we need to train them in Shastra and all that, we have to train in practical behavior also.
Yes, because this is the pure
I gave
nucleus.
This is the nucleus.
If this is not there... then outer thing will not work for long.
That's true. Yeah, exactly. That's what I was saying. So why don't you work on it?
Hari.
No, you know, you've seen the culture.
Yes, yes.
I've seen also. India, I've been based in India for...
I'm greatly inspired.
Coming on 30 years now, and we've seen how life was. And how it is now. What a difference. The young girls, they want to dress up like prostitutes, actually. Prostitute means one who shows her body to all men in an attractive manner. So this, the average young woman in India or practically anywhere else in the world is just like a prostitute. If you say that, they'll get upset, but it's true.
Then they
won't accept. The father tells them, don't do this, because they think, you know, all my friends are prostitutes, why shouldn't I be one also? They think it's normal just to mix up with boys and joke and laugh and then have an abortion and hope your parents don't find out. But if they do find out, they won't be that bothered anyway, because they expect it. Devotees are telling me, my father, I went through university and my father expected me to pick up some girl from the university and find some wife like that. His father told him, you're at university, you pick up some girl. Rascaldom.
The media has made it...
It's turned around. Previously in India they thought you can't send... It's shameful to send your daughter for education. Or it's shameful to send your wife to work. And now it's around the other way. My daughter has to be a PhD. She has to have her own career. By propaganda, they've turned it all around. And it was these Hindu reform groups like Brahma Samaj and this Arya Samaj, they were all very influential. And the women have to get education. They got education. You see, Kunti Devi, she was composing prayers, but in a different way. Not that they went to school and they sat with the boys in the same desk and joked and laughed with them.
But Maharaj, we have to go to little deeper is the because the media has made so many desires in the heart of the people.
It's meant for increasing desires.
And to maintain.
That's it. You see, the media increases your desires, and you're just a ball of lust and greed, and then you want to. Then they say, buy this, buy this, buy this, buy this. Work hard, get more money, buy more things, and you do because you've lost control of your senses and you can't think that what's good for you and what isn't. And you're just controlled by, because you have no self-control, then you're controlled by the media and you become a good consumer.
Consumer.
And then people get rich somewhere.
To maintain that, everyone has to work.
Work.
And then there from that this thing starts, and then there is no
control. The whole society is a complete
disaster.
So either
we just go to the Vedic civilization of Krishi Goraksha, we leave this city
that
life.
That we need to do,
Because this city life is not at all conducive. This is whole full of 99.99% of that type of people.
Yeah,
and
demons.
They think that we are junk. They think that we are foolish, and even all our society people will think, our Vaishnava people will think that he is running away from the, hard life. He should be like an escapist.
Yeah, they, if people call us escapist, I agree.
Yes, they think
we want to escape from your stinking society.
Because
the only intelligent
thing
to
I
do.
Can clearly see that what is happening and I cannot control. Because how can I control? Either I become a Hitler. Like if you talk a sane thing to an insane person, how the things will go together?
So that's right. Actually, you're just giving the same lecture that I gave yesterday.
Because we have the same type of mood.
So Prabhupada's solution was that you set up these rural communities, live simply. There is a community in America called the Pennsylvania Dutch. What's the other name for them? The Amish. So they live according to the principles that they followed 300 years ago. They don't have any machines except those that they make for farming. And they don't mix up with the modern society. They live on their own farms, and they're religious. They're Christians with their own way of life, and they never change. When all the industrialization came in, they just stayed as they are. People respect them like anything because they live according to their principles. If we live according to our principles, then people of more discrimination will respect that. Although our main purpose is not to be respected anyway. Our main purpose is to satisfy Krishna. But it's not true that everyone will just think we're fools. People will respect that. And if we don't live according to our principles, people will disrespect that. Then one devotee in Bombay was telling me that one big rich man was saying to him that, why don't you feed the poor people? And he was saying, explaining to him that, this is a few years ago, he was explaining that actually we have higher work to do, spiritual welfare work. Then the same man's come and said, well, why? What happened? You're doing this midday meals program now. And then the devotee said to him, well, we have to, society will like it, this and that. He said, now you're not following your own principle. The same thing you preached to me before, now you're going against. He immediately caught. So we have to live according to our principles. Sincere people will appreciate, and we're interested in sincere people. Why should we dance to the tune of all the fools? Let us dance to Lord Chaitanya's Mridanga. Gaura bihita kirtana shuni anande hridaya nachi. When we hear the name Mridanga. No, that's not right. What is it? Gaura bihita kirtana shuni. Then what's the next line? Is it? Vidanga bada shunite mon. Oh no, abhasha shodaja. Yeah. So when I hear the kirtan, which is promoted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then my heart dances in joy. So let us that be our joy, not the dancing to the tune of the fools. So yeah, these communities are needed. Again and again, unless we establish our own communities as Prabhupada wanted, then it's practically inevitable. We're going to get sucked in by this Karmi society. And this is happening. Our devotees, most of them, they're living in the Karmi society, and they find it too difficult to go along with the strict principles of Krishna consciousness, so we make some adjustment for them. As soon as you make adjustment, everything finished. So better have our own communities. But those who are living in the cities up to now, better we do live according to our principles. Otherwise, we cease to be proper devotees. We can't be devotees on our terms. We have to be devotees on Krishna's terms. That's what it means to be a devotee. So, anything else? All right. What is chastity? Well, in terms of a wife, chastity means she never thinks of any man than her husband. Chastity for a devotee means he never thinks of anyone but Krishna. Anya deva shrinai tomare kohino bhai e bhakti paramakaran. But this chastity is not possible if you've before marriage you've already been joking with and laughing with so many men. So the Vedic system is you get married before puberty. So the mind is fixed on one man. However charming another man may be, you cannot have any interest in him. Just like Sita, Ravana had so much to offer. He was desirable for so many women, but Sita wasn't interested.
Lord Chaitanya said, Swami jeva nahi mane vesha tahe kai.
Yeah.
So
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, who doesn't follow the husband is considered a prostitute. So that's it. Either the wife is chaste or she's a harlot. There's nothing in between. But nowadays in the modern age, it's not considered even bad for women to be unchaste. In the Western world, and it's coming here also, that you have 3-4 husbands, or you don't get married and you have so many boyfriends, and it's just because it's okay, it's normal. Children don't have a fixed father, they have a new father every 3 years. How is that possible? It's not possible, but... Huh? It's the mother's choice, that change. So it's an insane society. What else can we say? These Vedic principles are so important. I'm going to speak more about this evening, actually, because we have the youth group meeting. So, something, 5:30, isn't it? Yeah. Where is that? Up there, okay. I'll be there on time this time, hopefully. Because we often see that young people, they're coming to Krishna consciousness and they like it, but there's a big difference, cultural difference, social difference between the life that they're used to and that of Krishna consciousness. And we have to understand the value of this culture. You may think, oh yeah, what difference does it make whether the young girl cuts her hair or has some Sai Baba kind of hairstyle or ties it up? You know, it's all the same, you know, it's just hair, that's all. But there's a difference, you have to understand. Why? Why shouldn't I wear t-shirt and tight jeans, and what's the difference? So what is the difference? We should understand.
No one dares to touch these topics nowadays, even in our society. What we speak of different authorities, maybe temple president or this or that or GBC, these are very, very powerful things. And we try not to touch like a boil. If a boil is on the body, we will try just to avoid that boil and do everything. Because
and wait for it to burst. And all the pus comes out.
So you are doing that job, Maharaj. It's very nice, very appreciable. There has to be someone who operates that boil.
Well, I joined this movement because I was looking for an ideal, actually, and I see that's being compromised now. So devotees are idealists. We want the best. We want Everything should be the best for Krishna. We don't want to be mundane. We want the highest thing, but so we have to live according to that principle. Otherwise, why did we join this when we could have just... then it becomes like some kind of vegetarian, semi-religious social club. That's all. But our ideal is to attain Krishna. We have to do whatever is required to attain Krishna. We also have a duty to uphold what Prabhupada gave us. Otherwise, how are we disciples? It's not just chant Hare Krishna and do whatever you like. It's chant Hare Krishna and do what Krishna likes, what our acharyas have taught us. Prabhupada wanted the Western devotees to come to India to learn about the culture, which they don't know about. But instead, what's happening in our own society, ISKCON, they're adopting the Western culture. It should be the other way. The Western devotees should be adopting the Indian culture. So you have a duty. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Bharata bhumite hoilo manusha janmaja janmashata kari karo para upaka. India is noted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, the specialty of India. They have a greater opportunity. Prabhupada many times said, I'm one Indian. I went over the world and preached. All Indians should do that. It's the duty of every human being, especially Indians, to preach this message. But if you also become cats and dogs, then how are you going to help others? So please, I request you, maybe in the West it's far gone, but at least in India, keep this high ideals. Not that they introduce the cat and dog culture in our temples. All right, I'll stick my neck out a little further here. Another unpopular thing. There's the point of ladies dancing in kirtan. Ladies don't dance in kirtan. They do, but they have their own time and their own... Isn't it in your old culture? They have the lady mahila satsang, separate. And no men can go at that time. That time they dance as much as they like, but not in public. Because they have to maintain their chastity. You may say, well, it's all bhakti. It's all bhakti, but you know, the men are watching also.
It could be in the temple, because the temple is full supposedly with the devotees who are practicing and sincere.
And they're all pure devotees. At least I saw, this has only come up in the last 5 or 6 years. Otherwise, traditionally, no woman would dream of dancing in the presence of men.
But practically, when we see a nice standard followed, like nowadays, when I see the temple full of the sincere devotees, and there may be some outside person who is keen to look.
No, but I'm talking about the devotees. You think, yes, the devotees are all such great pure devotees? They're going to see the men, and they're going to watch all the women jumping around here and there.
I cannot answer that, but I feel that nobody will look at that and will be absorbed in...
Oh. Would your grandmother have done so in the presence of respectable men? No. Generally, if you want to know what the proper standard should be, you can just think, what did your grandmother do? I don't know, she probably wasn't a pure devotee. I don't know, maybe she was, maybe she wasn't. But in terms of cultural behavior, like I said, Prabhupada wanted the Western devotees to come to India to learn from the Indian karmis how to behave. So we'll finish there. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.